This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
All of God's children said hallelujah. For indeed to God be the glory for all that is good and is perfect in his world. With those who love the Lord, just bless him. Those who love the Lord, just bless him for a moment. For truly he is worthy. Worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. He is so worthy. Indeed, the blood still works. The blood that Jesus shed still works. It cleanses, it heals, it purifies, it restores. Something special about that blood. Amen.
When you look, grab your Bible and look in the Old Testament at the book that was written by Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah, the prophet. I'm going to look at chapter number 18, verse 1 through verse number 6. Amen. Amen. Good word on this morning that's going to help me and you. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. Funny thing is, it's been several months I've been wanting to preach this, but I couldn't, of course, because he had other things that he wanted to say. But this morning he said, now is the right time to preach. When you have that, when you have Jeremiah 18th chapter and you're looking at verse 1, I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 I want to use for a few minutes talking to you as a thought. I want you to think about this. And I guess the topic or the title is A Good Place to Be Messed Up. A Good Place to Be Messed Up. Then a subtopic, if you will, in his hands. Amen. Bible, according to Jeremiah, who was a prophet, according to what the Bible says in his experience, he was a young man who, or should I say a child, basically, who had been called of God to speak to nations and people. He was a minding his own business, I would say. And then God said, I have a plan for you, Jeremiah. And as you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that Jeremiah had a little issue with the calling at first. Amen. And then God told him, Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Amen. Many of us don't realize that God knows us from the very beginning. I believe it was in Romans that it said that he did predestinate. Amen. We need to know that our destiny is not about who we hook up with in this earth realm, but it's about who we reconnect with in the heavenly realm or in the spirit realm. Amen. We need to make sure that our connection with God is right. Amen. Jeremiah was called at an early age, and he said, I knew you from the beginning, from before you were formed in your mother's womb. I had a plan and a purpose for you. And many of us, we think that we plan our lives like we want to. Amen. But I want you to understand there's one scripture that says, and it's written in the NIV version this way, that many are the devices of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's counsel that shall stand. So I don't care what your plan is, you need to know that the will of God and the ways of God will stand, and the counsel of God will stand in your life. Amen. Amen. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. Excuse me. God does not create anything without a purpose. Even though you don't like the mosquito and you don't like the fly, they still have a purpose. Come on and say amen. So no matter what it is and who it is, and God has a purpose for them. And you know, even though none of us really like the devil, there still is a purpose. Because God let him continue to do what he does. And guess what it does for us? It puts us on our knees to pray. It makes us know that we need God in order to live, in order to survive. Amen? Amen. And so we thank God that he has a purpose for everything. But most importantly, know that God has a purpose for you. Amen. We cannot choose what we want to be, how we want to be, when we want to be it. Amen. We need to know that God has a purpose. And the only way we can do those things, try to choose and do what we want to do, is to get out of the will of God. And that can be very destructive for you. Amen. When you get out of God's will, then something may come to you, something may happen to you that you'll never recover from. Amen. And not only will you have a life of hell on this side, but when you die, you will have a life, an eternity of hell to live in forever. Come on and say amen. Yes, life is eternal, but you can spend it either with eternal life in God, or you can spend it in hell away from God. Come on and say hallelujah. But Jeremiah was a prophet, and God told him, Jeremiah, I want you to speak to these people. I want you to speak to these nations, and I want you to pluck up. I want you to cast down. But then I also want you to plant, and I want you to build up. Come on and say amen. And so God had a purpose for him. He wanted him to do some things. And in the process of him plucking down, casting down and cutting down and plucking up some things, some people got mad with him. Amen. And do you know that as long as you live for God, as long as you try to do the things that are right, people are not going to like what you do. They're not going to like you. And at some point, Jeremiah was slapped in the face by Pashur because of what he said. And Jeremiah was only saying that I'm saying the words that God, you told me to say. And this man slapped me in the face because I spoke the words that you told me to say. Now, many of us wouldn't be able to handle that. But Jeremiah knew his calling. Amen. We would not be able to turn the other cheek. We would not be able to handle what happens when we do the will of God and somebody aggressively rejects what we say or what we're doing. Come on and say amen. Many of us would have resorted to fighting, putting on our clown suit. Say it's time for the circus to come to town because I'm going to show you. Come on and say amen. That's what we would have done. But Jeremiah went back to God and said, God, I don't really want to say these things anymore. God, I don't want to speak in your name anymore. I really want to quit. I've been there before. I felt that way before. But then Jeremiah comes back and said, but his word was like fire shut up in my bones. In other words, it energized me to the point I had to open my mouth and say what he told me to say. I had to do what he told me to do. It made me want to do whatever he said to do. Amen. I've been there. When we were starting this ministry, every Monday morning I quit. Every Monday I said, I'm through. I believe I'll just go have church somewhere else. I don't think I want to do this. But God said, you can't quit. Amen. He won't let you quit. There's no quit in a Christian. Because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. But when I begin to look at this scripture and we begin to talk about it, we'll find out that sometimes we even in the hand of God, while we're trying to do the things of God, while we're being made by God, sometimes we get messed up. Amen. I don't know what it is that might mess you up, but it's some things that come into your life and they mess you up. Sometimes people will mess you up. Sometimes situations mess you up, or you mess your own self up. Amen. But let me tell you, there's a good place you can be when you're messed up. Amen. When we begin to look at this, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, not that God couldn't speak to him where he was at, but God wanted him to be obedient to go to the potter's house, and then he would speak to him. How many know that God wants you to be obedient? The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. God wants you to be obedient, and he, you know, we can get his word and carry his word, but what good is that if we're not obedient? Amen. We can try to tell people how to be saved, but then we need to know that we are saved ourselves. Amen. So that we can be obedient to the word of God. God wants us to be obedient and in order, because God's favorite thing is not praise, but God's favorite thing is order. If we are obedient, then we can get in order with God. And then when we are in order with God, then he can use us into the full potential that he intended from the very beginning. Amen. Amen. And so he arose. He says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, you know, I like to use my points. So the first point here that I want you to see in these first three verses is that he called him to a place, the place that he called him to. The place that he called him to was the potter's house. Come on and say amen. The potter's house is a place of transformation. Amen. The place of transformation. So he called him to a place, and this place happened to be a place of transformation. And see, sometimes God will call us to a place so that he can what? Transform us to what we are supposed to be. He went to a place where he took clay and he worked it to transform it into a useful vessel. The clay itself represents us, because we were made of the dirt from the ground. Amen. And so he says, now go down to a place where he's going to work with some dirt, where you can take what seemed to be nothing and work it into something. I want to show you how to do that. Somebody say amen. He called him to a place of transformation. And we remember what the scripture says in Romans 12. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, the working over of your mind. And sometimes God wants to work your mind over. That's why sometimes we have to renew our mind with the what? Word of God. I need to get the word in my mind, so eventually when I get enough word in my mind, many of those words are going to my heart. And that's why David says that I hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Come on and say hallelujah. Oh, yes. So they were, he told him, go to this place of transformation. I want to transform you. Amen. We got to see here that when we go into a place of transformation, we're going to a place where God is going to take the same ingredients, the same old sinner that I used to be, and he's going to change me to become something that he can use to salvage me, to save me. Amen. And so when we think about going to the potter's house, what he did, he took something that was salvageable like clay, and he used it to make a vessel. Now, when I start to think about that, I'm thinking about what God done for me and what God done for you. He redeemed us. He took us. The word redeem is zanzagorago in the Greek, which means to go through the mall of souls and see what condition, or better yet, go through the wrecking yard or the salvage yard and see what you can use and pick it up and say, I can use that. Take it and make it something that you can use. And so what God did for us, he took something that was salvageable and gave us salvation. Oh, come on and say amen. He took something that was really no good and no good for anybody else. They couldn't use it. The world can't use it. You ain't no good. You know how they tell you, you know you ain't no good. You ain't nothing but a liar. You ain't nothing but a backbiter. You ain't nothing but this. You ain't nothing but that. Who you think you too much? You know, so God is saying that he can use us even though the world don't want nothing to do with us. And when you salvage something, we don't want you to think about this. God, he does just like we do sometimes. Sometimes I do with my water bottle. Sometimes I'll take the bottle and I'll drink what's in it. And then instead of throwing it away, I'll take it and salvage it so I can fill it back up again. And so what happened is that we've been used by the world. We've been used by people. We've been used up. And what God does is he takes us and he salvages us and he fills us with his Holy Spirit so that we can be used once again by him to pour out his word to all those that would hear it. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. And so here it is. He was in a place of transformation. And so when he began to look at this, and not only was it a place of transformation, but it is a place of testing. A vessel, when it's in the potter's house, is going to be tested. It's going to be put through a test to see whether or not it can hold up under pressure. It's going to be put in an oven to see if it can handle the heat that it's going to be put under. And sometimes in our life, we're put under a lot of pressure. We're put under a lot of strain. We're put in situations and trials that seem to be heated trials, and it tests the integrity of who we are. But God is saying that I'm sending you to the potter's house so you'll see what I'm doing to my people. I'm putting them and taking them to a place of transformation, and I'm also putting them in a place of testing. So once I put them through the heat, once I put them through the test, I fill them up to see if they can hold what I put in them. Oh, hallelujah. You're wondering why you're going through some things on this day. Amen. You're wondering why you're facing some issues, some obstacles. And it's only because God is testing you to see if, come on and say amen. He's testing you to see if you can stand the test so that he can use you eventually. The Bible says that he has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor in his house. Whatever it is, you can be a vessel. Amen. I want to be a vessel of the Lord. I want to be tried and tried. I want to be filled with whatever God has for me and put it, and when he puts it in me, I want to be able to give it out like I'm supposed to. Paul was, he was a good example, because he says that I'm ready to be offered up. In other words, I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering. I'm ready to give it up, amen, because I've done everything I'm supposed to do. That's why Paul could say, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. My time is up. I poured out all I can pour out. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I'm like Paul. I want to be to the point that I don't want to die early. I want to be able to go ahead and fulfill the will of God. And I want to pour out everything that he's put in me so that when I'm ready to go, I can say, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I'm ready to be poured out. Amen. I'm ready to go on and be with the Lord. The place was a place of transformation. It was a place of testing. And then let's look at the pottery. The pottery, he says, and the vessel that it made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Let's stop right there. The pottery, the vessel itself was marred. It was what? Messed up. But it was still in the hand of the potter. When we look at how the potter goes about getting his clay, he goes and he finds a spot in the ground, and he takes a shovel and he separates, Lord help me, he separates the clay from its place that it was originally. Sometimes God does the same thing with us. He has a spiritual shovel that he digs in and separates you, Lord help us, from the place that you used to be. From what's like you. Oh yeah, because some of us, we were with people that was just like us. Liars and cheaters and alcoholics and whatever it was. Ex this and ex that. You've been an ex something. Ex offender, ex drug dealer, ex drug user, ex alcohol. Come on and say amen. You've been something. Ex cussing person, whatever you want to be. You've been something, but he separates us with his spiritual shovel. And he brings us out of the place where we was unto a place that he wants us to be. Now, when we think about this, God separates us. The Bible says he sanctifies us. And that's what that means. It means that he sets us apart so he can use us. I don't know about you, but I felt the pain of separation. I remember when I was out in the world so bad, and I was good at being a sinner. I enjoyed the sin that I was in. But God sent his shovel. spiritual shovel to bring me out. And when I separated, come on and say, man, although I was still from where I was from, I felt that I was different than where the people that I was from. Oh, come on and say amen. And so what happens here when the potter goes out and he finds a good hunk of clay, separates it, brings it back, after he digs it out of the ground, he allows it for weeks to condition in the environment of his house. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes God will allow us to sit in condition. Don't seem like nothing going on. I'm just sitting here. I'm not really being used. I don't feel like I'm being blessed. I just think I'm just here. In the house. But what he's doing, he's trying to condition you so that you be conditioned to his environment rather than the environment that you came from. That's why when I come on and say, man, sometimes when people first get saved, they still dress like they did when they was in the world. But at some point in time, come on and say hallelujah. I remember I wouldn't wear a suit, but then after a while, because I had been conditioned, I wanted to look my best to come before the king. After I've been conditioned, yeah, I used to wear my tennis shoes and jeans. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But then I decided, I said, you know what? I need to save some money so I can look better than this. Come on and say amen. And I wanted to look better because y'all don't know. I used to sag and my pants was way too big for me and stuff like that. So I had to change that. Wasn't no sagging allowed in the church. So I had to change something. And so he allows the potter allows the clay to condition for several weeks. Then he takes the dry material after it dries out. See, God will dry you out. You know what it means to be dried out. You know, if you're an alcoholic, he'll dry you out. If you're a drug addict, he'll dry you out. If you got some kind of addiction, whether it's lust or whatever, he'll get you cleaned up. Oh, hallelujah. And then look at what he does. He takes it and dumps it in a tank, whether it's a wood tank or a cement tank, but he dumps it in a tank and he covers it with water. Now that sounds like what he does us. Oh, come on and say amen. He puts it in a place and he puts water on top of it. Now they said that the best pottery comes from where they have salt water because the salt water helps it to condition better. Oh, come on and say amen. Well, what I'm saying is that God puts the water on us. And I'm not just talking about when we go and we get baptized. I'm talking about the Bible said that we are washed by the water, by the word of God. And so God's water. And then he says, look at this. The scripture says that we are the what? Salt of the earth. So what God does, he takes somebody who's the salt of the earth to dump a bit of water, the word, on you to get you ready for what he's about to take you through. So he takes it, covers with water, and while it's there, look, God takes you from being moist and coming raw out of the ground from your condition, puts you in a place of conditioning, amen? And once he takes you from conditioning, he puts you in another place to condition under another circumstance, under another environment, and then what happens in that environment is that if it's any lumps, if there's any stones, if there's any rocks, any hardness in it, it'll soften it up. Come on and say amen. God does that. He softens you up so that he can mold you. He removes all the lumps out of you. Boy, some of us were so lumpy, you had a whole bunch of stuff in you that just wasn't right. You know how much anger and envy and hatred and bitterness you have in you. You got some lumps in you. You got some rocks, some stuff that's hard. I don't care what nobody say. I ain't changing my mind. I'm still going to be who I am. And God said, I'm trying to put you under some water because I want to change who you are. I don't want you to stay the same. I want you to be new in my hand. I want you to be changed. I want you to be what I want you to be, not what you think you ought to be, what you want to be. Oh, come on and say amen here. He puts them in a place, amen, to where they soften up, and then they're stirred in the water, and those things disintegrate. The hardness disintegrates, and it turns into a thin or slimy mud, which is called a slip. And sometimes we need to be in the slip. Amen. We need to get ourselves in a place of being slipped by God. Amen. And the slip is drawn into after it goes in the tank and the stones and the lumps and all of this has been moved out of it. Then he takes it and he puts it in a place, or better yet, he leaves it in that place and he stands on it and he begins to walk on it with his feet. Now, you know, you felt the pain of God walking through your life. Oh, come on and say amen. He walks on it, and when he began walking on it, that's just to get us humbled. That's to make us, come on and say amen. That's to make us humble so that we can so that we can be used by God. He said that he resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. Can I help somebody today? And then he takes it and he prepares it and puts it for another 6 months in the house and don't do anything with it. You don't feel nothing for a while. For the season has come that you don't feel a thing. And after that, the clay has been cleansed and processed. He puts it on the table and he takes a mallet and he beats it. Now, you know, you felt the beating of God. He's beating, guess what he's beating out of the clay? Any air that's in it. Some of us full of hot air. We say anything come to mind. We talk all kind of crazy stuff, but God is trying to get that out of you. He's trying to work that out of you. He's beating you because some things we said, you know how we always say, you got to watch your confessions. We always say, I'm sick and tired. And then you wake up in the morning and you feel what? Sick and tired. You should have been refreshed because you just woke up. But then you wake up and you're sick and tired. Come on and say amen. We got to watch our confessions. And so he has to beat those things out of us so that we won't be full of hot air. So that now, you know, if you stay full of air and he don't get that out of you, those pockets will produce a weak spot. When the clay is made, it will produce a weak spot and cause the vessel to be fragile and unstable. Why you got so many unstable Christians today? Why you got some that's so fragile? You can't even tell them something. If they misunderstand what you say, they done got an attitude. They ready to go crazy. They ready to go off. I ain't coming back to church. I'm through with church. Oh, yeah, we can't be so fragile because that's what's wrong. We got too many lumps in us. We got too much hot air in us, and it makes a weak spot when we go through the testing period. And so God doesn't want us to be weak. He beats that mess out of us. That's why we keep feeling the pain. That's why we keep feeling the chastisement. That's why we keep feeling this and we keep feeling that. Every time we look around, we're going through something. I'm going through a trial. What about you? I just came out of a trial. What about you? I see one on the way. We're always going through something because God is trying to work us and get us to a place where we won't be weak. And we have to wait on him because he said that it'll be put, the clay is put back, and for about 6 weeks or 6 months, it's sitting there doing nothing. And you know, the Bible says, let patience have her what? Perfect work, so that we may be entire and wanting or lacking nothing. I don't want to lack anything, so I need to be patient and let God do what he's going to do. I need to be patient, and if he's going to work this thing out, I need to let him work it out. Quit asking everybody how to help me out. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Look like nobody ain't come to my rescue. I wish somebody would have helped me. You need Jesus to come to your rescue. You quit asking people. Quit waiting on people. Quit getting mad with folks when they don't come and they don't pray with you. When they don't come sit up at the house with you, when they don't call you on the phone, God is saying, I'm beating the hot air out of you. You don't need to be filled with that hot air. They tell you all that good stuff to build you up. They tell you all those things to make you feel better, and then only to go back to feeling bad when they're gone. Oh, yeah, you don't need that hot air. I'm just beating the hot air out of you. I'm beating the air bubbles out of you so that when you're tested, you won't be weak. You'll be able to say, I'm strong. That's why we can really say, whenever we're going through it, we can honestly say, let the weak say, I am strong. We are truly strengthened by what we go through. I remember the older people said, if it doesn't kill you, it'll just make you stronger. And guess what? We know that God won't kill us. We know the Bible said that the trying of our faith, come on and say amen, is more precious than gold, that it worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. The pottery, when Jeremiah got there, it says that he saw that it was that the potter had, he wrought a work on the wheels. And he says he looked at it, and he says while he was working it, he said that it was marred or messed up in the hand of the potter. And then he made it another vessel. Amen. Jeremiah said, look at this. He said that the clay was messed up, but it was still in the hand of the potter. Sometimes we wonder, how did I